Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Bob, thank you for leading us in those songs. It's interesting that the very first sin that we know of ever to have been committed in all of history was committed by the devil, and it was the sin we're going to be discussing tonight. It was the sin of pride. Satan believed that he could go up against God with his angels and defeat the very army of God. And that pride led him to his ultimate defeat. Some writers have said, and I think they may be right, that more people will go to hell because of this particular sin than any other sin out there. And the reason for that is that pride is the primary barrier between a sinner and salvation. How many people will fall into the hands of Satan for the simple reason that they would not acknowledge that they were sinners, that they would not acknowledge their need for God? How many people do you know that refuse to admit that they're wrong about anything? Now, the sin of pride will stand as a massive barrier between many a sinful man and woman and the salvation that God longs to offer. Pride is the first thing which must be sacrificed in order to come to Christ. To accept our salvation, we must first admit that we are failures, that we cannot make it on our own. And in so many cases, personal pride just will not allow an individual to make that admission. And let me, tonight, I want to just look at the negative side of pride and what pride does that is so damaging in an effort to help us eradicate this sin from our lives. Number one, pride distorts our own view of who we are. Pride has been defined as the only disease known to mankind that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul said in the passage that was read at the beginning, do not think of yourselves more highly than you are, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. You know, pride is an insidious thing. Pride creeps into Christianity perhaps more easily than any other sin. Now, the heinous sins out there, the immoral sins, the sins of the people in the gutter and the street, those are obvious, and we don't allow those kinds of sins into our assemblies and right here into the church with us. But pride walks right in with us, and it comes in so quietly and so easily that we can allow it to completely take us over and not even realize it at times. You know, if I'm not careful, I can become more concerned with my image and whether people like me and all the things that go with ministry rather than the real purpose of serving people and glorifying God. There are many people in my position, many of my peers who've talked to me about the struggles that they have with pride. That's one of the biggest struggles that many preachers have, the sin of pride. Tony Campolo tells the story about being in graduate school as he was being trained to be a preacher, and he got up, and he was one of the best ones in the class, and he got up, and he was polished, and he was clever, and he did a great job, and he just knew that he was going to get an A on his sermon, and he went and sat down, and he was waiting, and all the other students gave him all these great adulations, and they said, you're going to go great places and do great things. And the teacher turned in his assessment, and it was simply this. He said, Tony, you can't convince people that you're wonderful and that Jesus is wonderful in the same sermon. You know, that's a difficult thing. Pride goes before a fall. So says Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Now, a lot of folks have a struggle with this because it's hard sometimes to know where the line is between humility and poor self-esteem. Humility is simply seeing myself as I really am. True humility, though for a Christian, is an ennobling thing, because if I see myself as I really am, I will see myself as one who is loved immensely by God, one for whom the Father sent the Son to die, one who has been created in the very image of God. A humble person is freed to forgo his rights or her rights, not because that person feels unworthy as they look at others around them, but doing it for the sake of Jesus. So humility is a true, accurate self-assessment that frees us in many ways. Pride and low self-esteem are both distortions of who we are, but they are at opposite ends of the spectrum. Pride over here and low self-esteem at the other end. Only in God's Word are we able to look into the mirror for balance and see ourselves as we really are, sinners that are saved by the grace of a loving God. Pride distorts our own self-view, but there's another thing that pride does that's terrible. Pride blinds us to our very need for God. Daniel tells the story about King Nebuchadnezzar and how he had built that wonderful city of Babylon and those hanging gardens. And there in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, down in verse 29, it says that the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and he said, "Is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The pride that he had in his own accomplishment. And it was there that God interrupted that whole process. In verse 31 it says, "The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. 'This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and he is the one who gives them to anyone he wishes.'" You know, pride places us on our own throne, and in doing so, removes God from his rightful place. And pride, thirdly, is something that will absolutely halt all spiritual growth in your life. As pride comes in, spiritual growth stops and then begins to go in the opposite direction. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 18 of those two men who went up to pray. And there in verse 10 of Luke chapter 18, he said this, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness." Now, he told this story to prideful people, to those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down, it says, on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, you look at those two people, and you see those two people within Christian circles today. It's interesting that these two people were both in the religious category. It's not one that was saintly and one that was just a gross sinner, although one was a publican. But Jesus here describes two people who pray, and very often we can see both of those within the church. Pride will tell us that we don't need what anyone else has to offer. Only the humble person is in a position to be taught and to grow. And then lastly, Pride will cause us ultimately to lose out on the very provision that God has intended for us to have. The story of Naaman illustrates that so well. Naaman, who came from his wealth down to that muddy river of the Jordan, and was told to go and dip in it seven times, and he came so close to missing out on the healing that he did finally experience, only when he humbled himself and seven times went beneath the waters of that river. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and following, Peter talks to the young men and warns them about this insidious sin of pride. And this is what he says: "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due course." You know, there's only one area with which a Christian can legitimately boast. It's the same area that the Apostle Paul was proud of and in which he boasted. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul said, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, it's amazing what God can do through people who have a spirit of humility about them. And it's frightening what God is unable to do among those who are proud and who are arrogant and who trust in their own ability to get through this life. I hope that we as God's people will always be people who are people known for their humility and for their willingness to acknowledge their need for God. If tonight there's someone here who needs to express that need before our Father, we're going to sing a song, and we want to encourage you to do that. It all begins by acknowledging your need and by being willing to kneel at the cross. If you need to come tonight, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.